95.9 WATD, our Paws and Claws segment now. We do it every week at this time, sponsored by our good friends at The Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call The Clean Team to take care of fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, and all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. Visit thecleanteam.net, thecleanteam.net. Good morning. I'm Rob Hakala. And what we do on the second Tuesday of every month is we get to check in with the great experts over at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists, CapeCodVetSpecialists.com. We do that on the first Tuesday of, the second Tuesday of every month. And joining us now this week, our special guest is Dr. Kira Berg, back with us. Dr. Berg, good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy 4th to everyone.
Woo-woo. You had a good summer so far? Have you gotten any, speaking of the Cape Cod, I don't know. I mean, because as a vet, you're probably busy all the time, but can you get ever a moment to get to the ocean, Dr. Berg?
Yes, actually, I did have 4th of July off. It's one of the benefits of being a specialist. So I was able to enjoy the beautiful holiday.
Oh,
great.
Nice.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the topic this week. This month we're talking about the leopard gecko. So, Dr. Kira Berg, again, you're a specialist. So this is the type of creatures you deal with. So let's talk about the leopard gecko. So what makes that different? I guess there are lots of different types of geckos. I think about the insurance gecko, but tell me about the leopard gecko.
Yeah, so geckos are really cool. So they're all in one family within lizards. So they're called within the family that we know as Gecconidae. And within the geckos, there's two different major groupings, right? Of course, there's details that we could get into, but the two major groupings are those that do not have eyelids, the way that we think of eyelids, like the Geico gecko, and then those that do have eyelids, which includes leopard geckos. So leopard geckos do have what we know as conventional eyelids. They do need to close and blink, whereas, again, animals like a Madagascar day gecko or a crested gecko, they don't actually need to blink. Their eyelids have been fused and rendered transparent. So that's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Casual aside.
Yeah.
Yeah. leopard geckos, like I said, they do need to blink. And so that's what makes them part of the group called Eublepharidae. Again, going into that whole needing to blink. And that also is really important because a lot of diseases will first start to see on their eyelids for them, or their ability to blink and see. So that's one thing that's really important. One of the things I love about geckos, too, is how tiny they are. And I think a lot of us don't realize that they actually have a 30-year lifespan.
Wait, I'm sorry, 30 years?
Oh, yeah, 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So super, super long lifespan, these tiny little creatures. And so I think, we see these little guys and they're 30 grams at the pet store and they might never get more than 100 grams or 120 grams. But they live, the equivalent of a cat and a dog lifespan combined sometimes, right? So, they're very, very big commitment in terms of time. And, much like the other reptiles that we've talked about in the past, they do benefit from UVB light. They need gut-loaded, insects. We want to make sure they don't have access to sand. And so they are very prone to a lot of the diseases that we talk about with reptiles, including, the group of diseases known as metabolic bone disease. And in particular, these guys are very prone to vitamin A deficiency as well as reproductive disease.
All right. So a leopard gecko, would a leopard gecko be a good pet then? First of all, leopard geckos, they're not natural around here, are they?
Correct. They are not. They are normally found in the Middle East and North Africa. So they do come from very high temperatures and one might think low humidity, but actually they create these really cool micro environments in which they have high humidity to help them shed appropriately. So they're actually or like a medium humidity, I will say. They're not a chameleon. They don't need 80%, but they do need more than a bearded dragon, for example. Mm-hmm. In terms of pets, I think they can be really good pets. They are initially a little bit shy as hatchlings and young juveniles, but they can make very, very good companions. I will say for any lizard, though, of course, if a child wants it, I definitely promote, you know, children having reptiles. However, the biggest thing is just making sure that the parents are aware that, you know, it's important for the parents to be primarily involved and as aware of what's going on with the reptile as the child.
Mm. Now, in terms of if you had the reptile, is there any danger to, I mean, I suppose you'd want to, we always want to pet everything. Is there any damage?
Yeah.
Can you pass things on to the pet that are damaging, or can it give you anything from rubbing it?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So any reptile can shed salmonella, especially in their poop.
Okay.
So salmonella is obviously, I think, you know, most of us are aware of the diseases that can occur in humans. And there are cases every year of humans getting sick from reptiles and they get salmonellosis. However, the best way to prevent that is simply to wash your hands, which is great. So it's avoidable. You know, I know a lot of people like to kiss their reptiles, and I think I might personally be a little bit anti-kissing reptiles just because of the amount of salmonella risk.
So even you, Dr. Berg, you know, you draw the line there. You're not kissing the reptile.
Oh, I mean, I have a hard time not.
Well,
right?
Okay, but
I'm not wanting to,
okay.
But I wouldn't, yeah.
Okay.
So definitely snuggles and cuddles are okay. And these animals, again, once they get more acclimated, they can be great little snuggle buddies. But just making sure washing your hands, and anyone who is potentially immunocompromised or has a less functional immune system should be very aware and maybe even wear gloves with them. But again, gloves and washing hands is plenty to prevent, should be plenty to prevent this disease.
What do they eat in terms of, since this isn't the natural habitat, maybe they might like the weather with the humidity that we're having now. I don't know if the steaminess might make them enjoy this type of weather. But
so this kind of muggy. Sorry, go ahead.
No, but okay, yeah, tell me. I mean, do they like this kind of weather? Is it, I mean, it's tropical.
This mugginess might be good short term for them. So I think it's okay to have them, you know, go outside, get some natural vitamin D and sunshine, even cloud cover, right? We're still going to get UVB. So I think that would be fine for them short term. And I know you were going to ask about eating. So they are carnivores in the wild. They eat insects. And so we do have plenty of insect options in captivity. There's, you know, at least 10 different kind of worm species or grub species in addition to crickets and roaches that they can eat. It's just really important to gut load them and dust them. And then again, because leopard geckos have such a long lifespan, always going to throw out the importance of veterinary care for them very routinely to prevent diseases and to catch diseases sooner rather than later.
Okay. All right. Good advice here from Dr. Kira Berg with us today, talking about the leopard gecko and some of the things that it can be prone to. But if you do want to get a leopard gecko, it might be a good pet, although we should caution that there is a commitment. So, again, this is something, you know, that you know, mom and dad may not want to have the gecko stay with them. Because chances are the kid is going to, I know. Well, what are you going to do, right? I mean, do I got to feed it insects while you go away to school? But this is the kind of conversation, right? Because you said it could be 30 years.
Oh, yeah. My fiance's best friend, leopard gecko, we're mid-30s at this point. The leopard gecko he still has from when he was 9 years old.
Wow. Think about that. 9 years old. Okay. Well, that gecko is going along for the journey. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Let's see. Now, we had one question on the text line, and I know this may not be your area, but let's see. Do you know if, and I guess people could find out more, CapeCodVetSpecialist.com. We have Liza who wants to know, Dr. Berg, do you know if your organization offers pet acupuncture?
That's such a good question. Unfortunately, we do not right now.
Okay.
So we do have physical rehab, but we don't have integrative medicine like acupuncture or like TCVM, like traditional veterinary, Chinese veterinary medicine. We don't have that here.
Okay.
But I will say yet. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, thanks for answering that, Liza. And we hope that answers that question. All right. Cape Cod VetSpecialist.com, and we have once a month we have one of the great specialists on from Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists. You can find out more at CapeCodVetSpecialist.com. And Dr. Kira Berg with us today talking about the leopard gecko. And Dr. Berg, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you, I hope, in a couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I always love being able to talk to you guys about our special species.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's fascinating. All right. Well, have a good rest of your summer,
thank
and we'll
you.
Talk again. All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
That's our Paws and Claws segment on WATD.